life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Done it again! Done it again! I'm fuming, I've done it again. I bloody tested it as well. I tested you. You're testing me now. You're testing my patience, you bloody rubbish piece of equipment. How many times are we going to do it? You're fired. You bloody... Focusrite. Bloody do what you preach. Focusrite audio synthesizer. You bloody focus. I'm already focusing right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news this Tuesday, the 30th of September. Got lots to get into this morning. Fabrizio's had his say. Jamie Carragher's had his say. We've got the return of a player to the first team squad. Don't get excited. Trust me, don't get excited. Also, we've got some exclusive stuff coming in from Carrington, which is why I want to start off with. Now, if you remember in the summer, basically, this is an Amorim job plea. This is brilliant information. This is a step forward. Everyone's talking about Glasner, did it last night. Everyone's talking about when Amorim's going to get sacked, did it last night. Reality is, hot off the press, any talk of manager change is completely irrelevant before Saturday. We can carry on all week saying this manager, that manager, do sack him, don't sack him. The club ain't doing anything till at least after Saturday. So Amorim is here, the press conference on Friday, the match on Saturday against Sunderland. He will be here 100%. That's not the exclusive, by the way. In a sense, that's common sense. So ever since March, international break, Amorim wants rid of Onana. Exclusive. Start of April, Man United want Delap, exclusive. Garnacho's leaving the morning after the Europa League final. We've had a few bits come in over the last 6 months from the training ground. You may remember at the start of July, when the transfer window wasn't going that well, we had information coming in that Amorim had come back really positive, was really buzzing, was really excited. Some of us were like, why? You've had a crap transfer window. So we've always been quite... occasionally had quite good themes of what the plan is. So, where are we this morning? So, I was up in Manchester yesterday, had a bit of time on my phone, did a few things, had a bit of conversations with certain people. And essentially, where we are with Ruben Amorim's side, because we're getting a lot about what United might or might do. Amorim, and really interesting second part to this story, Ruben Amorim is basically saying to Manchester United, you either back me or you sack me. Like, it's not the end of the world if you sack me. Like, if you don't think I'm the guy, sack me. It's out of my control. You know, I don't want to be sacked. I want to do the job. But if you're not sure or you're not, you know, just sack me. We can't go on like this. So basically, Amorim is saying, look, let me go. Let me go. If you don't want me, let me go. If you do want me, back me. But ultimately, I'm just going to keep turning up. I'm going to keep being asked the same questions about formation. I'm going to keep saying the same things after the game. Being sacked is out of my control. I don't fear being sacked because it's out of my control. I'm not going to change the way I play. So, you know, are we doing something about this or aren't we doing something about this? So Amorim's position, whilst under massive pressure, is that, you know, I'm the manager. Unless you tell me I'm not the manager, you know, there we go. And his stance was described to me as being very sort of detached. You know, detached is the word I got. So what? How would you read that? I don't think he's determined and I don't think he's, you know, confident anymore. I think he's detached. I think he's aware of the enormity of the situation, the enormous pressure, and I think he's looking for leadership from above. Well, he might be in for a very, very long wait. What I also got told, and the biggest thing I want to say this morning and the thing that I took from this, because look, we can talk about what was just said there. It is quite interesting, but this was the one that caught my eye. I was asked, I asked, why is it he keeps focusing on experienced players? Because we've seen this before. We've seen it with Ten Hag when we went to Villa, and he's got Johnny Evans at centre back. Why is it he's obsessed with playing Bruno and everyone like that? What I was told from the training ground is that Ruben Amorim is detached anyway. He does stand back. We've seen it at Carrington. We've seen the videos. He stands back. He leaves it to his coaches. He's quite withdrawn. The only players that he really interacts with are the senior players, the senior leadership group. So you've got a manager, and this is not mine, this is what I was told. You've got a manager who is under huge pressure, whose only real interaction in any depth is with experienced players like Bruno, Harry Maguire, etc. He's in massive trouble. Of course he's going to rely on the players that he actually talks to. So essentially, reading between the lines, we're not about to see Bruno Fernandes, Harry Maguire, Luke Shaw dropped for people like Yoro, Mainu, Heaven, Lemens. The way he manages, and I think Mourinho was quite similar. I was trying to think about stories from Carrington over the years. I pretty much remember Mourinho did this. I remember Mourinho did this. He was very detached from at least like 85% of his squad and treated them as basically employees. And then he had about 10% of the squad, Matic, etc. Was Matic at Man United when Mourinho was there? I think he was. But I'm trying to think who was on that leadership team then. It's hard to remember because it was so long ago. But he had a core of players that he sort of was close to. So this, to me, this morning, makes me even more concerned because on the one hand, yeah, look, he's going to be here till the Sunderland game. On the other hand, the thing that needs to happen to save him, he won't do. He's not going to roll into a team with Yoro and Mainu in it when he's not tight with those players. He doesn't have a relationship with those players. He has the relationship with people like Bruno and Maguire. So he's going to keep picking those players to get him out of this problem. He's not going to go to what, it'd be a very big surprise. So I thought it was really interesting information because I suppose you could have, you wouldn't know it, would you? You wouldn't know it. And I think it's really interesting because when you look at the situation, and this scares me even more, and I sort of agree with what Carragher said last night, which I'll speak about a little bit later. There's an inevitability to this. It's just a case of when, not if. Because if his way out of this is to focus on those players that he's close to, those players that he's close to aren't the right players. Like, I would liken this to, put yourself in this situation, right? You are wanting to get married and you want to build a long and happy life with your partner, right? On the one hand, you've got Michelle Pfeiffer, who I think is touching 70. On the other hand, you've got, I don't know, I'm not very good at this sort of thing. I always use Margot Robbie. Let's use her, who is a little bit younger. If you propose and marry Margot Robbie, then you probably, unless something bad happens, like an unexpected event, you've probably got a long life ahead of you that you can build something together, build a family, and have many, many happy years together. If you marry Michelle Pfeiffer, with all due respect, she can't defy science. And you're probably not going to have that long together. And you're probably not going to have a very active life together, really. It's going to be very, very short term, isn't it? So take that into a footballing sense. If you're Ruben Amorim and you need to build something for the future that's long, sustainable and happy, you're better off going for the Margot Robbie option. And that here he is going with the Michelle Pfeiffer option. Now, Michelle Pfeiffer is a very fine lady from what I've seen, and she's a very good actress. But it's not long term, is it? And she may have had better days as an actress. I don't know. I've not watched any of her recent work. But also, she's been used a lot by other people, other directors, other films. I mean, Margot Robbie's been in a lot of films. I'm sort of getting lost in the woods here, but what I'm trying to say is it's not long term, is it? It's short term. And we're meant to be building something long term. And there's nothing wrong with short term. If you fancy a holiday in Greece with Michelle Pfeiffer for a couple of weeks, I think you'd have a great time. And I think she'd be brilliant company. But if we're trying to build something for the next 5 to 10 years, then she might be saying, look, I've done all that before. I'll have a couple of weeks in Greece, but then I just want to take it easy, you know? So I think that when I look at what Amrim is doing, Tales from Carrington, it's worrying. It's worrying that he is the type of manager that doesn't have a relationship, close relationship with people like Yoro and Mainu and the younger players, but he has a tight relationship with the Brunos and that. Because what needs to happen is, effectively, and this is where I sort of look at it and go, I think I've seen this movie before. Bruno is clearly his guy. I speak to all of you and ask you about Bruno, and the stereotypical answer is he's the problem in the team. We can detail the different problems that he is, but he's the problem in the team. So we've got a manager.
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Who is building his future around the problems? And the future are not part of his trust group. So effectively, from what I was told yesterday, we're not about to see a midfield that's not got Bruno in it. We're not about to see a defence that hasn't got Luke Shaw and Harry Maguire in it. We're probably going to see that again and again and again and again. And therefore, when you're looking at the manager, has he walked into this club, like some people said last night, and is this job too big for him? Has he misunderstood this football club? I mean, I feel like a bloody broken record, but I remember saying this about Ten Hag. I remember saying this about Ollie. And I remember saying this about Van Gaal. I don't remember whether I said it with Jose. But you know when Ten Hag got the job, just very, very, very quickly, when Ten Hag came into the job, it felt like everything Ralph Rangnick had said for the last 6 months, he completely ignored. Apparently Ten Hag didn't even want to speak to Rangnick. And look, I wanted Ten Hag, but I hated that. I was like, here's a guy that's been at the club for 6 months at its lowest ebb, who's spoken about open heart surgery, who knows who all the problems are, and you didn't even want to pick up the phone and speak to him because ego comes in, I'll learn what the problem is. And it feels like Amrim's done exactly the same. It feels like Amrim's come into the club and gone, I'm not interested in what's gone on before. I'm just going to do it my way. And the reason I say this is because every single manager at Man United seems to be arrogantly naive and not able to look at what was happening before. We as fans are not that blind. We as fans experienced Ollie, we experienced Ten Hag, we experienced Rangnick, and we experienced Amrim. The biggest problem every Man United manager has is that they're completely closed off from day one. They walk into the club and that's day one. So all the knowledge we've got that frustrates us, they're not aware of. They don't walk in and know, oh, this leadership team has sacked three managers. They don't know that Ten Hag did this a year ago when he started using experienced players towards the end. They don't know that some of these players that you're relying on, we've done this before and it doesn't work. They all come in with their ego of, I'm not going to look to the past, I'm just going to look to the future. And as fans, we look at it and go, you're doing exactly what the previous sacked manager did and the one before that and the one before that. There doesn't seem to be any learning. And I was realising this driving back from Manchester yesterday. I was like driving back and I was going, I find it so frustrating. I don't know about you. I find it so frustrating that we get frustrated and managers sit there and go, well, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you. And the reason we get frustrated is because knowledge is power. We've experienced all these managers being sacked and we've seen all their mistakes. We have a playbook of all the managers. Like we could all write, if I said to you, come back at 2 o'clock with a list of things that Mourinho, Ollie, Rangnick, Ten Hag, and now Amrim did, we'd all have at least five things. And then we'd all go, and Amrim's doing it there. Because there's no learning. There's no learning being passed over. Even at the highest point of the football club, why is... Well, again, Berada may have come in and gone, I don't want to know what Arnold did. I don't want to know what Woodward did. Wilcox might have come in and gone, I don't know. I don't want to know what Murta did. There doesn't seem to be any learning in this organisation. And that, to me, is just, you know, sometimes, like, when we're running the United Stand, and I'll go, what did we do in the March international break? Because the March international break's always a pain. You sort of, like, do you start talking about transfers? So I said, well, we've done about seven international breaks in March. Can we go back and look at what we did? And, you know, one of the producers will go back and went, oh, it was all about Pogba because he did an interview, or it was all about Ten Hag versus Pochettino. Knowledge is power, and it's there. And Man United just don't seem to use that knowledge. They don't. They don't. And it's like an epiphany. I think that's something to do with Christmas, actually. But it's... The thing that frustrates us is the knowledge we have as fans, having experienced it all time and time again, the hamster cycle. The problem with the current manager and every other manager, and maybe the CEO, and maybe the director of football, and maybe the owners, is they do not learn from the past. It's a reset every single time, and they make the same mistakes. So when I'm told what I was told yesterday, that Amorim is sort of saying to the owners, I'm not scared of the sack. Let me go if you want to let me go. But ultimately, back me if you want me to be here. Amorim is apparently quite detached. He's like, you know what? I'm under a load of pressure. Are you backing me or are you sacking me? If you're sacking me, I will end up... Look, Amorim's stance, and this is guesswork, I haven't been told this. If you're Ruben Amorim, obviously his professional pride, sacked. But Arsene Wenger basically got sacked. You know, Graham Potter's just been sacked. Ancelotti's been sacked. Emery's been sacked. You know, lots of good managers have been sacked. Also, you're set for life. You've got 12 million in your pocket, and 100% you will get another job. You know, he's not going to be tainted by that. He will get another job. So there will be disappointment, but it's not the end of the world. So, you know, that's where Amorim is. He's basically waiting on leadership, which will probably never come. But what I found really interesting was the whole detached element from the squad. I'm craving him going, I'm trying to build a future here. People like Lenny Yoro, Mainu, these, De Ligt could be captain. These are future planning moves he could make. I was told yesterday, he got no chance of that. He is not tight or close with all those players you mentioned. I was told, you know, he respects and has, you know, verbal conversations with them, but they're not trusted players that he's going to jettison his trusted players for. His leadership team, his Brunos, his Delos, his Maguires, they're the players that he's going to try and get in the team to save him because they're the players he's close to. And I just said, well, if that's the plan, then I sort of know the answer already. There is no way back, is there? Those players, why is he close to those players? And I was told, well, because they've been at the club for a long time, they're well respected in the club, they're good lads, they're good professionals. And Amorim needs, you know, people like that around him. And ultimately you look at it and you go, that's the problem, isn't it? Because this is exactly what Ten Hag did. It's exactly what Ollie did. They're the same players. And there's no learning, is there? Like, Ollie and Ten Hag literally used the same players as his leaders to save him. Where are they now? Literally, people like Bruno, Maguire, Shaw, probably even Deleu under Ollie, I don't remember, but certainly under Ten Hag, these were the players. I mean, Deleu basically sacked Ten Hag, didn't he? He missed the open goal. So, I think that, you know, it's very sad, but the truth will set you free. And the reality is, Amorim is making the same mistakes as Ten Hag, certainly in the players that he's utilising to save his job. So don't expect wholesale changes on Sunderland. But what will happen is that unless the club are actively making moves to make a change, we are here with Amorim until Sunderland, of course. Now, what I will say here is, because you never know who's listening, is if there is talk of replacing Amorim, and, you know, there is that inevitable feeling that it will have to happen at some point, if there is talk of replacing Amorim, if the next guy comes in and goes, you're in my leadership team, you're in my leadership, this is the problem. I could see Oliver Glasner going, Maguire, Shaw, Deleu, Bruno, you're my leadership team. And if the next manager is going to do that, we may as well not bother. But I don't see how the next manager won't do that. Because I know for a fact from people I know at the club, Bruno Fernandes is the Don. Everybody loves Bruno Fernandes. He's the captain. He's a really nice guy. Everybody likes him. He walks around with a smile on his face. He basically is in charge of that football club. Harry Maguire, massively popular, really well liked, good lad. Very much, you know, the same with people like Luke Shaw. These people are not bad people. They're not bad people. They're just Michelle Pfeiffer. They're Michelle Pfeiffer FC. They are players that have been here so long, that are so well liked, but when it comes to a Saturday or Sunday in a Man United shirt, they're not good enough. And it's almost like we had the bomb squad. I don't know what you'd call this lot. Smiling assassins. But assassins know what they're doing. They're just nice. They're nice guys. They're well liked at the club. They are good people, but they're not good enough for Man United. And that's the problem. We need a clear out. And it's really easy to clear out Garnacho and Rashford and Sancho because they've been painted as villains, rightly or wrongly. But there are nice guys at United that need to go. And people don't understand this. When you are changing a business, it's really easy to get rid of Knobhead Neil, who's like, you know, lazy and horrible to people. Get rid of Knobhead Neil. But what about Lazy Laura, who makes everyone a cup of tea but doesn't do the job properly? You know, who organises the Christmas party? You know, who chats to everybody all day, and that's part of the problem because she doesn't do any fucking work. This is the problem. Like, everyone thinks, oh, get rid of him, get rid of lazy, get rid of them lot, they're rubbish. But what about these people who've been here for ages who actually clearly aren't good enough as well? Massive problems at Manchester United, massive problems.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabay Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabay sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink-in feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
On a lighter note, I just thought I'd bring this in. So look, you've got Arsenal who are going top gun, right? So basically, a story this morning, Mikel Arteta wants to bring in RAF pilots to speak to his squad so that instead of 20 words, one will do. So basically what he's saying is these pilots are in life or death situations and they need to communicate in, you know, potential, you know, whatever they're up to. And they'll do it in one word because they haven't got time to be like, what are you doing there? And what are you doing? So that they use codes to communicate in tough situations. So he wants them to come and speak to his players so that his players can communicate shorter on the pitch. I mean, these are the fine lines that winners like Arsenal are looking at. They're going top gun and we're bringing back Malacia to the first team squad. Top gun and we're playing top bum. You know, who's the biggest shit player we've got? And that's Man United at the moment, isn't it? I mean, Malacia is now back joining in with first team training. I mean, forget about it. Shut up. We don't need to sack Amorim. We don't need to scrutinise the board. We don't need to moan about where we are in the league. Malacia's back. Malacia's back. Arteta's crying. Slot's resigning. Malacia's back. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Sunderland aren't even turning up on Saturday. He's back. Malacia's back. It's like the return of Voldemort. Everybody's scared. They're shitting themselves. I mean, I saw it and I was like, oh, good. Malacia's back. Please put Malacia back in the team. I massively enjoyed watching him play for Man United last season, refusing to cross the ball. I mean, I distinctly remember a game where it was like, I was almost crying. I was almost crying. It's his refusal to cross the ball. This is a player that PSV didn't want. This is a player that nobody wants. somebody in the chat's going to say, maybe we should try him in the midfield. I mean, that's the next thing that's going to tip me over the edge. You know, we've had Lindelof, let's try him in the, you know, people used to say Wan-Bissaka in the midfield. I mean, Malacia's back training with the first team. I mean, I thought we wanted to get better at cross. I mean, this is a problem, really, because if you're Arsenal and you're training against the likes of Saliba and Gabriel, you know, you're going to get better attackers. I would imagine in training, our players think they're prime Ronaldo. I mean, you must score from everywhere with Binder in goal. You must think your corners are brilliant. You must think your shots are brilliant. And now, if you don't have wingers against Malacia. I mean, it must be so confusing for our players in training, because the decent ones, I mean, Mbeumo must be scoring 50 goals in training. And he must think, what's going on at the weekend? I scored 50 goals in training this week. Because you're training against shit, aren't you? Man United, back in the day, you'd be training against people like Roy Keane, David Beckham. You know, you're now training against Binder and Malacia. I mean, how are we going to improve? Seriously, how are we going to improve when in training, this is the quality of training we're doing? Like, standards. I don't know. Bruno is not good. It's just the players around him are worse than he is. Bruno doesn't get into a top six team, says Stephen. Robert McCormack's in the house. He says, we make too many excuses for him. A top manager could get this squad challenging for Champions League places. Only three decent teams in the league. I think it's a good point, Robert. Let me run a poll on that because Robert's the king of controversy, but normally good. Is this United squad potentially a top four side? Yes or no? So Robert's saying that we're making too many excuses for Amorim. A top manager could get this squad challenging for Champions League places. Only three decent teams in the league. I actually think, Robert, this is why I've got no... I don't mind saying sack the manager and bring in Ajabi. I don't mind saying sack the manager and bring in Glasner. I don't mind saying that. I'm just not motivated by it. Some of you are. Fair play. I'll tell you why I'm not. Because I actually... Somebody came up with something brilliant last night. They called it the blame game percentage game. Or the blame percentage game. So basically what happens in that is you take players, manager and owners 100% and you apportion the blame. So I said 60% owners, 25% players, 15% manager. That's how I apportion the blame for Man United's current position. So 60% of the blame goes to the owners, 25% goes to the players and 15% goes to the manager. That's how I apportion it. So in answer to your question, Robert, is this team a top four team if you replace the manager? Logically, no, because 60% and 25% is 85% and they're still here. I don't think 15% with a good manager takes us into the top five. Our midfield is mid-table. Our goalkeeper is relegation standard. I think our front three is good enough to get us into the top five. But without a midfield and a goalkeeper, I just don't see it. So... I don't even know what our wing backs are either. So I don't think we're a top five side, and I'll explain why. Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City are way better than us. Chelsea, Spurs, Newcastle, I think are better than us across a 38 game season because they're more consistent. We might be able to get a result against them on a one-off like we did Chelsea, although it was against 10 men, but we're talking about 30. I think some people get mixed up with we could beat them. And 38 game season. That's two very different things. We can't win two games in a row under Amorim. I don't think we can win four games in a row under another manager. So I would say we are seventh best at best. But that's assuming we're better than Villa. We're better than Brighton. We're better than Bournemouth. So I don't believe that we are a Champions League potentially challenging side if we change the manager. I really don't. I think that's what positive people want to believe, but I don't believe it myself. We're not better than Bournemouth, says Ronan. We're not better than Newcastle. We're not better than Spurs. We're not better than Chelsea, I don't think. We're not better than Man City. So, yeah, we're not in the top six. And also, the two problems Man United have got is the one I just said there, our squad is not in the top six. And the second thing is, we're not consistent. So you could be Fulham and get in the top six if you're a very consistent team that can grind out results. We're neither consistent nor good enough. So I can't put us in the top six, I'm afraid. Chris says, in my opinion, not having the connection with the rest of the players, he's missing the other core personalities that add to a winning squad. De Ligt, Cunha, says Chris. Look, if I was Ruben Amorim, I would remove my relationship and reliance on Luke Shaw, Harry Maguire, Dalot and Bruno, and I would replace it with a reliance on De Ligt, Mazraoui, Mbeumo, Cunha. Those would be the four players I would be replacing with those on my leadership team, because they're not young and they're not old and they are going to be here for the next 5 years. So it's not like I'm saying replace Bruno and Maguire, etc., with the lit with Yoro and Mainoo and Dorgu. But our leadership team should be De Ligt, Mazraoui, Cunha and Mbeumo. That's where he should be focusing in on. And I think it's a great point. Instead, he's using Dalot, Shaw, Casemiro, Heaton, Maguire, Bruno. Every one of those has sacked multiple managers. Martinez would be in my other leader team as well, but he's not fit at the moment. His future, his leadership team should be Martinez, De Ligt, Cunha, Mbeumo, Mazraoui. That's who his leadership team should be. And his next set of leadership team should be people like Yoro, Dorgu, Mainoo, Sesko, who are building to come through. That's the future of Manchester United there. That's what a manager should be doing. That's what his future should be. Those set of players I mentioned, supplemented by younger players. What he's actually doing is saying to all those players, sit down, your leaders are Dalot, Bruno, Maguire, and all them lot. And that's the mistake. But that's the mistake, again, because it's another manager that has refused to learn about the club he's managing. And Ten Hag did the same. And Van Gaal did the same. They walked into the club and went, I don't care what's happened before. I'm the manager. I will learn. And not learning from the past is a life lesson. You're a moron for not learning from mistakes. Because the trouble is, if you make the same mistakes other people made because you couldn't be bothered to learn about them, who's the moron? You are.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
You are, and that's why he is getting rinsed by everybody, because he didn't do his homework. He didn't listen. And look, I mean, I'm not always his biggest fan on a Monday night football, but Jamie Carragher said, we are only waiting for the inevitable. It's been a disaster for both parties. And I think he's absolutely spot on that. Like, take it away from Amorim. What were Ineos thinking? What was Omar Berada thinking? What was Jason Wilcox thinking? What was Sir Jim Ratcliffe thinking? You bring a guy in who is young, successful, but very rigid. Very rigid. There is no tactical ability to go to different formations. He's a 3-4-3 coach who's been very, 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 very successful in a very, very short period of time. You bring him in and you don't give him the ingredients. And that will always be true That will always be true. It doesn't matter how toxic or abusive people want to be towards Ruben Amorim. Two things can be right. His decisions and selections are questionable, but so is the ownership. How do you bring in a guy who plays 3-4-3 and give him a squad that can't even play 4-3-3 and then you don't back him in the summer properly? Properly. There's no doubt we spent very, very well on the attack, but I tell you what, you're intelligent enough, and so is everybody else, to say you cannot say he was backed in the summer just because he had 200 million. What Man United basically did, they needed to build a Ferrari and they didn't buy the engine. And it's not going to move. You know, there's no, in life, if you want fish and chips for dinner, you don't just buy the fish. Where's the chips? If you want to go on holiday to Greece, Michelle Pfeiffer, but you don't buy a package holiday, you've got to book it all yourself. And then you turn up to the airport and Michelle's there ready to go. I nearly said something else. And you haven't booked the flights. Oh, I've just booked the holiday. Well, what about the bloody flights, you know? That's what they did in the summer. They didn't do the proper job. Is it true that Amorim called in by Manchester United bosses for an urgent meeting and has been asked to switch to a 4-3-3? No, I mean, Rohan, I read that. And look, I think that particular account has got a couple of things right, but their frequency of posting is just proof that they're not right about a lot of things. You can't be a journalist and post five times a day exclusive stories. And biggest load of bollocks, yeah. Hi, Mark. Are you now more sceptical of hipster managers coming in from foreign leagues, i.e. should only look at Premier League proven candidates moving forward, says Bungle? No, because I'm not. I didn't vote for Brexit, and I don't believe in the world's a very diverse place, and I don't believe in barriers. So I would never sit here and say we should only go Premier League proven. I think that's ridiculous. Arne Slot wasn't Premier League proven. Jose Mourinho wasn't Premier League proven. I mean, Glasner wasn't Premier League proven. The Premier League is full of Premier League proven managers that weren't Premier League proven. So I think that going back to the blame game, it doesn't matter whether you're Premier League proven or a foreign manager, you will fail under this ownership. So we're not failing because Amorim's not Premier League proven. We're failing because we're not properly providing the infrastructure for a manager to succeed. Glasner's Premier League proven. He won't succeed at Man United because the circumstances will not dictate that he can succeed. So I don't think it's anything to do with Premier League proven managers. It's about the structure. It's about the players. That's what needs to change at Manchester United. I don't think they will go for another foreign manager for the simple reason what we just said there, but just because you're Premier League proven isn't going to change the fact you've got crap owners and crap players. That won't change it. With a passionate insider would leak what's really going on behind closed doors. Something serious and deep-rooted is clearly broken at the club, says One Inch Wonder. That's always going to happen, yeah. Get rid of Bruno Delo and make De Ligt captain, says Danny. I look at the next five games and I do believe we can lose all five. How does he survive, says Constantine? Well, as Jamie Carragher says, there feels like there's an inevitability to it, doesn't there? And as I said, in relation to what I was told yesterday about Amorim's detachment and who he's utilising as his tight-knit players, I find it scary that the players he's focusing on are the same ones Ten Hag used. Conte failed at Tottenham, says he. What if we get a new manager and he does Maguire and Shaw starting, same old stuff? Well, I think that will happen, Daz. Next manager will still have Bruno as captain. He'll still pick Shaw, Maguire and Delo. I don't think that will change at all. I don't think that will change at all. We have only employed one Premier League proven manager, and lo and behold, he's done the best out of the lot. Stop getting managers unproven in the Prem, says Christopher. Ten Hag wasn't Premier League proven, won back-to-back trophies. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer wasn't Premier League proven and finished second in the league. It's a bit too... Christopher, you remind me of a Sith Lord. You know, you're dealing in absolutes when actually they're not. Somebody said the volume seems a bit low. Well, I don't know why, because I've got my thing there and it's maxing out at red when I do that, so it's nothing to do with me. Good morning, Mark. Do you think style managers are overrated by fans when compared to pragmatic ones, says Woozy? I think there's a couple of people this morning who are getting really locked up in simplicity. You're talking like it's a manager issue at Man United, and I sort of wonder where you've been for 10 years. You're getting lost in very, very fine detail. You're sort of thinking, if we have a Premier League manager who's pragmatic, we'll be okay. I completely disagree. I think you're ignoring 10 years of failure and why that failure has happened. And as I say, 60% of that is on the ownership. 25% of that is on a set of players that shouldn't be here still. If players had that sort of alleged attitude, then we'd be screaming, get them out of our clubs, says Daz. I turned 18 yesterday. Any advice stepping into adulthood, says Buzzer. I could write a book on it, mate. But chase your dreams. Stay safe. Could you explain the compensation package situation, says Mittish. Would you take Daniel Farke from Leeds? No. Stop asking about Daniel Farke. The people stick their head up their arse and then remove it and talk shit. Like, what are you talking about, Daniel Farke from Leeds? He's literally the definition of, you know, a five-game wonder. He's had a good start to the season. Leeds were going to sack him in May. Stop talking shit. Absolutely no. No. Was Slot Premier League proven, says John. There was a question there. Oh, the compensation package. I mean, nothing surprises me about Manchester United, but there is a rumour going round that they're going to wait till November because it's a cheaper compensation package. Now, knowing how Man United work, we stopped £40,000 of payments to a charity. £40,000. So if there's the opportunity to save a couple of million, you could well believe it. I would hope it is complete and utter nonsense, but I don't have any information one way or the other. The reality is, as we were talking about last night, check out the show, the club want to stick with Amrin. He will definitely be in charge for Sunderland. If he beats Sunderland, he'll be in charge for Liverpool. If he loses to Liverpool, he'll be back in trouble again. But if he beats Brighton, he'll still be in a job. So you can see him making it to November quite comfortably. If he loses games, he won't. There will be a lot of United fans. I don't agree with it. I do not agree with it. I really don't agree with it. But I'm not going to slag them off. There'll be a lot of United fans on Saturday that are conflicted with wanting their team to win and realising one more loss might remove the manager. That's life. Some people don't want to say that because they feel like it's unwritten words. You can't say it. There will be people on Saturday who are conflicted, basically thinking, if we lose this game, he's gone. I'll take the loss to get rid of him. 100%, you know they will. Straight away, are you one of those people? No, I can't. You should know by now. Like, when we beat Brentford, I was going mad and people were going mad saying you're an embarrassment. I like Man United winning. It makes my life better. It makes me feel better. It makes my weekend better. So I want Manchester United to win. But what I will say to the Amrin outers is that even if we win, I think there is an air of inevitability to it because his plan doesn't work. And his plan is to stick doing what he's doing. Like, his plan is to utilise players I don't trust to get us out of a bad situation. And the definition, you know, ultimately, if you have somebody who constantly cheats, would you be in a relationship with them? No, because you know they're going to cheat. And in a footballing sense, am I going to trust players that consistently let us down? No. There is an inevitability, regardless of what happens against Sunderland, that these players will let us down again. So I don't see a way back. I don't see a way back in general, sacking the manager or not, but I don't see a way back.
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Sadiq's a legend. He's gifted 5 memberships. Thank you very much, Sadiq. Could Malasia do a player-manager role, says Rory C. I mean, we're back. Malasia's back. We're back. It's the injury. People think we're... You know, people thought that the player we needed back from injury, beginning with an M, was Martinez. It's Malasia. He's back. Could Malasia... Rory C, thank you. I'm hammering him in, but 2 problems. 1, squad collection. 2, given the leadership title to previous failed players, Mark, do you see a future with new ownership, says Seth. The only future is new ownership, but there's no prospect of a new ownership. If Sir Jim Ratcliffe really cared about this football club, he should sell his shares and get out. He doesn't need this. He doesn't need this. It's a vanity project. He doesn't need it. He just wants to be the guy that takes Man United back to the top, but he's taken us further down. If I was Sir Jim Ratcliffe, I'd sell my shares. I'd do an interview and I'd sell my shares. I'd say, look, I want the best for Manchester United. We've come in, we've tried. It's not working with this relationship. I want to do what's best for this club, this city, this fan base. We've tried. It doesn't work. The fans were right. I'm walking away because I don't think I can do what's best for this football club. He's never going to do that because the reasons he owns Man United aren't just about supporting Man United. As we know, it's about the massive amount of infrastructure and money that can be made. But he should be walking if he cares about the club because he's failed. As I think anybody would fail. I would fail. You would fail. Having to work under the Glazers, you would fail. It's a failure in definition. But a change of ownership is 100% what is needed. I just don't think we'll get it. And that's why I know he's not a real lifelong Man United fan, because if he was, he doesn't need the money. It's not like he's borrowed money and this needs to work or he's finished. He's a multi-billionaire. He doesn't need the money from this. He should walk. Do you think he feels like you feel now? Do you think he's utterly frustrated with 10 years of failure? Do you think he's utterly fed up with the state of the football club? Well, every other Man United fan is, so why isn't he? And he's got the power to change it. He's literally got the power to change it. What if those players, Yoro, Mainoo, are way off the first team, way off? None of them showed they can step up. They all look lost when they play. I don't think Yoro looks like that at all, mate. And also, if you think Yoro looks lost when he plays, what the fuck is Luke Shaw doing? What was Maguire doing at the weekend? What's Bruno doing? Don't for 1 minute try and tell me we're better off with Luke Shaw than Yoro. Come on. Build for the future. Luke Shaw's, he's a busted flush. Build for the future. I'd rather have Yoro. If Luke Shaw and Yoro are putting in the same performance, you go with Yoro because he'll get better and he'll be here for longer. Is there any truth in we're interested in buying back Ethan Gilbraith? I've never heard anything about that, Stephen. Sherwin says, if you talk Premier League proven, all great managers, Klopp, Sir Alex, Mourinho, Pep, Wenger, came to the Premier League without prior experience. Exactly. Changing manager under this owners is like changing filter in car while the engine is not working. It literally doesn't matter. What is next? Chicken manager. Check-in says, thank you very much. 4 or 5 players each window squad is built in 5 years, says Oliver. And John says, this is solely on Ineos and their sporting team. They did their review and decided to change our whole system with minimal funds. Absolutely crazy. I think that needs to hang in the Louvre. It's sort of what many of us have been trying to say for a very, very long time. And you need to hang it in the Louvre. Like, they basically recruited a guy who, well, they did a review, changed the manager, changed the whole system and didn't have the funds to do it. As I said yesterday, we'd have been better off going for Thomas Frank after Ten Hag because at least he plays a 4-3-3 and plays a style of football that's a little bit like the style of play these players want to play. They want to play counter-attacking moments football. It's like knocking your house down because you don't like it, having plans for a mansion and then not having the money to build it. That's literally what Ineos have done. A house that most people didn't like but was okay, got demolished to build a mansion everybody did like, and then they've gone, oh, we don't have the money to do it. And we're in ruins. Would you play Malacia at left centre-back over Luke Shaw? Oh, my God. No, I wouldn't. I think he's crap, mate, Sir Alex. We need to go to four at the back as soon as possible. Three at the back is making the entire Premier League Laffiters. It's not their formation, Darren. It's not the formation. Glasner plays a 3-4-3. Eddie Howe's played a 3-4-3. Other clubs play a 3-4-3. It's not the formation. It's the selections and it's the players. It's the decisions. If Glasner comes in this week and plays a 3-4-3, you'll say it was not a 3-4-3. Do you think the appointments of Amorim set us back years, says Casper? What sort of question is that, Casper? Do you think the appointment of Amorim set us back years? What does that even mean? I don't even know what that means anymore. I'm not being inflammatory or confrontational. I don't even know what that means. We were already shit. How can we go back for... What do you mean set us back years? The Glazers set us back years every year they're here. Ollie set us back years. Ten Hag set us back years. Like we're on a consistent slide down. I don't think that's because of Ruben Amorim. I think it's because of the decisions made by players and owners. Don't bring a manager in that you can't afford to fund. Don't change the whole psyche of a club when you can't afford to follow through on it. I think we're past going being set back years. I don't think you can gauge it on that anymore. I would say, have we hit rock bottom, Casper? That's the thing I always say. Have we hit rock bottom? I think there's been so many times over the last 5 years where I've said to you, have we hit rock bottom? And some people have gone, the only way is up. I don't think we've hit rock bottom yet. I don't. I still think there's potential to drop. And I did think 15th in the league and losing the Europa League final and we needed to win it. When I woke up the next day, I thought, that's it. Surely that's rock bottom. But I don't even know that we have yet. There seems to always be the point where you go, it can't get any worse. It can't get any worse. And then you go, well, it could. We're not even in Europe this year. And if we finish 15th, that's worse than last year because we had Europe. So, of course, it can get worse. Drummer Joe, thanks for joining the Members Club. You're a legend. And WG says, a Bournemouth side using current with Lemens, 4-3-3, Bruno in midfield, but a 3 for now. Okay, formation chat. Great. WGFVH is just talking about a manager who plays a 4-3-3. 77% of you say, is this United squad potentially a top four side? I think that's what WGFVH is talking about, that if we had... the Bournemouth manager and played a 4-3-3, you know, maybe it could work. I agree with the 77% of you. I think regardless of the manager change, we're not a top five side. Baz says, it all comes back to this. Ask anyone from Glinios, what is our club's football identity? They won't give you the answer. But you know what? We have no identity. Manchester United is identityless. If we got asked for ID at Sainsbury's, we wouldn't be able to produce an ID. If Man United walked into the beer aisle and bought 24 cans of Stella and went to the checkout and they challenged 25 and you got to produce your ID, Man United would go, I've got no idea. I've got no idea and I've got no ID. And the checkout assistant would say, well, I can't serve you because you've got no ID. Even though I know who you are, I know you're Man United and I know you're over 25 and I should be able to sell you the beer. I do need to see some ID and you have got no ID. No, we've got no identity at all. But you're Manchester United. Show me your identity. We haven't got one. We have no idea at Manchester United. Brilliant point. We've got no identity. We're Manchester United, but the people who run it don't have a bloody clue what we are. If I was in charge or you were in charge, I would say we're Manchester United. We play a 4-3-3. We have wingers. We take risks. We try and win to the end. We're always trying to get people in the box. We want to attack. That's what Manchester United always is. It's what we always will be. You know, risk takers. But we're not in charge. We've got people in charge who are going, let's try a 3-4-3. Let's be pragmatic. Let's not actually back the thing we're trying to do. Let's build a stadium at some point in the future. Let's get ChatGPT to design it. Let's remove the circus cover. You know, it's just a lack of leadership. A lack of identity. Crystal Palace have an identity. Sunderland have an identity. Newcastle have an identity. Birmingham City and Wrexham have an identity. Manchester United, one of the biggest football institutions in the world, has not had an identity for years. I keep saying this. When was the last time Man United played two good games in a row?
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
When was the last time you were entertained? Are you entertained? Do you get entertained watching Manchester United, or do you have to watch other football games to be entertained? I will hopefully be entertained tomorrow night when I watch PSG play Barcelona. I have to go elsewhere to get my excitement. It's like a marriage without any action. You've got to go elsewhere to find it. And it makes you feel cheap and dirty. You're betraying your club, but they won't give you anything. And that's what's happening at Manchester United. Why are we not... Why is it so difficult? We're not even talking about trophies and titles. Why is it so difficult to just entertain your fans? 75,000 people putting their hand in their pocket every home game. You can't even entertain them. That's not just on a manager, by the way. That's on an ownership. It's on the players. But it's more on the ownership. The identity of this football club I own is I want good football. And of course, we're 50% owned by people who don't even know the rules. How the hell can we demand good football when 50% of our ownership don't even know what football is? I'm pretty sure Man City's owners and Liverpool owners, whatever you think of them, they pretty much are demanding a certain brand of football. And Manchester United, one of the architects of good football, is now run by people who don't even have it as a priority. So we don't play good football anymore. Manchester United don't play good football. It's not a prediction. It's not sensationalist. We don't play good football. For 10 years, I can't think of many games that we played a good football. We play, on average, 50 games a season. And for 10 years, I can't think of two or three where I've gone, what a game of football. A game of football. I've seen 10 minutes here and there. What? Why is that such a hard ask? Bournemouth ain't going to win the league, but you know you're going to get good football. Brighton aren't going to win the league, but they get good football. Madness to me. Madness to me. The whole club's a joke from top to bottom. The priorities are rubbish, but we've got no ID. Got no ID. One window isn't enough to fix the mess. It's disappointing that Amrim isn't making the right decisions, but I don't want to restart, says Julio. I think so many people want to stick with Amrim, and I love that. The barrier is what he's doing with team selections just makes you want to throw up. Brilliant show this morning. We're back at 2 o'clock. Why is everybody saying there's no way back? For 6 months, it's a project. Now it's a problem, says Big H. It's a problem because his project makes no sense. People can deal with losses. People can be patient when they can see the project. If we're building the mansion and you can see builders turning up every day building it, but you know, you're frustrated because you haven't got a house to live in, but you can see it being built, you will put up with it. If that house is being demolished and they're telling you, we're building you the house, but you can see they're actually knocking stuff down, you can't get on board with that project. I'm sick of those without football knowledge talking about the formation and sacking a manager with the hopes of getting one who plays a new system, says Tristan. I was so sure Amrim was the man to turn things round, says Dan. Not sure where we go from here. The manager candidate pool isn't good. Where can you see the Glazers leaving in the 10 years? I don't think they're going to go. I think the Glazers are here for at least 20 years, Varick. Slot playing Van Dijk as a CDM is akin to playing Bruno in the pivot. I've said that before, Pete, and you're absolutely spot on. And Stephen says that it was reported in the Northern Ireland media about Ethan Galbraith. Adrian said, could this be the only chance in our lifetime that we might get to see Big Sam or Sean Dyche manage Man United? Oh, don't. That's enough. That's enough of the internet for me. Blame it on Adrian. Right, we have got a 7 o'clock show tonight because I'm doing Champions League on That's Football. We've got a 2 o'clock show as well. Brilliant show this morning. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in if you were watching live. And I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.